hello and welcome to Here in LA, Marina Del Rey edition. Today we talk with Amy Schrader, a CEO and founder, an HR veteran, a mom, and someone who doesn't mind getting punched in the face every now and then at her boxing gym. What? We will talk about Marina Del Rey and her new venture, Real Salary, which for less than a buck will help you figure out if you're being underpaid at your current position. You probably are. Amy and I first met more than 20 years ago, and I don't know too many other HR professionals here in LA who are better at their jobs. So let's please welcome Amy Schrader. Hey everybody, we are here in Marina Del Rey with Amy Schrader. Yay! Amy and I know each other from way back in the day. The last century?
We were babies, Tony. We met when we were babies.
That's true. That's true. I probably still had my Pampers on.
Yes.
And by the way, you got me a job. I'm just realizing.
Did I?
Because after we worked at the startup in Westwood.
Yes.
You went to E.
That's right. Oh my gosh. That's right.
You got me that job.
You were like a transcriber.
At first.
For closed captioning.
Yes.
Yes.
That's the job that you got me.
Oh, that's so cool.
And that was a very hard job.
Yeah.
And then I transferred out of there to a different role at E, and it was even harder. And the boss said, I'm going to wipe that smile off your face. And I was like, huh? And like 2 days later, I was crying in the park.
Oh my gosh.
It was that hard.
Are you so glad I got you that job?
No, I am.
Yes.
Because that kind of terrible experience from going to where we were, which was a beautiful place, mm-hmm. to this, which wasn't, made me start being a blogger.
Oh,
and if I hadn't been a blogger, I would never have made it to the LA Times. I would never have done LAist. And at LAist is when I started the Neighborhood Project, which is kind of what this is, where I go to all the neighborhoods.
Aren't our paths so amazing?
It is.
Where you're thinking, why am I going down this path? It's miserable, and it leads to something really magical.
Yes.
Or wherever you're supposed to be.
Absolutely. Yes. So thank you.
Oh, Tony.
For giving me that E job. Honestly, because good things did come from that, and the best was blogging. Because I don't think, if I had had a job that I liked, I don't think I would be blogging on the clock like I did at E. I didn't care if I got fired. I hated it so much. And that made for a really, really good blog.
But Tony, you're such a great writer. Do you remember when we worked together at that startup? It was before job boards, I think.
Yes.
Or they were just starting.
Yes.
So when...
There was Monster. That was it.
There was Monster.
Mm-hmm.
But typically when you were an employer advertising for a job, you advertised in the classifieds.
Which we did.
So we met when we were five, obviously.
That's right.
But...
Newspapers were still around.
And Tony, you wrote the funniest, most creative, hilarious ads.
Thank you.
It was during a time where there was no talent on the market. It was a big job boom. And it was so hard to find people. And those ads just brought people in. You're so funny and talented.
Well, but we have to give a shout out to our boss,
wonderful
Carolyn.
Boss.
Our boss, Carolyn, and then Dave and Lance, the founders, because they allowed me to do that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of other companies would have said, that's a little too weird.
Yeah, yeah.
A little too punk rock.
Yeah.
But Carolyn encouraged it. In fact, every now and then, because I lived close, I was like, Carolyn, can I just like leave the office for the rest of the day and just get really high and write these? And she's like, however gets you to where we need to go. And so she would give me like half day off to write those things.
That's amazing. Yeah, can we just for a second have a Carolyn appreciation moment? Because...
Love her. I mean,
she's so talented and brilliant.
Yes.
And the charisma, and she's hilarious, and just, she was wonderful.
She was wonderful.
And she was a kid too.
And between you, me, Shannon, and Nicolette.
Yes.
Am I missing anybody else in HR?
Janet. Oh, Janet.
I don't remember Janet.
She was also a recruiter.
What did she recruit? Like executive level?
I don't even remember.
Okay, so Janet too.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago.
We did great.
We were 60 years old.
We had so much fun.
But we hired like close to 500 people, right?
Yeah.
In the very short period of time.
Yeah.
And part of it was because Carolyn would leave us do our thing.
Yes.
She would go to the meetings and do meeting stuff.
Yes.
And I didn't feel like she bossed me around on anything.
Yeah.
She kept me in my lane.
Yeah.
But
here's what Carolyn did. She gave us the agency to do our jobs.
Yes.
But also show up authentically and be the most creative people we could be.
That's right.
And I think that's an incredible recipe for success for any business.
Yes.
And I think in the corporate world, we're not able in many cases to show up as our authentic selves and our creative selves. And so, you know, one of the exciting things about starting my own company is, you know, that's how I want to run my business.
That's right.
Where we get to really show up as our best selves, our authentic selves, and have agency and be really creative and problem solve.
And she didn't flip-flop. She didn't tell us one thing on Monday and, like, change it the next day.
She's really consistent.
She was secure in herself.
Yes.
The bosses trusted and loved her.
Yes.
And she was like, I don't think they had a problem with anything that we did, but she was a good protector of us.
Yes.
Because I never heard anything negative about what we were up to. And the rest of my life, I needed a protector.
Yeah.
And they weren't there.
Yeah.
And so, again, shout out to
you. We all need a Carolyn.
We do.
In our lives, for sure.
But they don't exist. Okay, so you mentioned your business. Let's talk about your business.
Okay, real salary.
So we were in the HR department.
Yes.
At this startup in Westwood. And it was an interesting time, like you said, because it was 1990. Did you get there in 1999 or were you there in 2000?
Yes, it was 99.
Okay. And so back then, like you said, everybody was hiring. Mm-hmm. So it was tough to like get good, talented people. And I feel like our salaries were fine as far as what we were offering. We also offered stock options.
Yes.
We tried to create a fun space. Yeah. I think it was fun.
It was. It really was.
We had soda machines for free. Mm-hmm. I think our parking wasn't really good. But we worked with people.
Yes.
We tried to make it a good thing.
Tony, do you remember? I'm sorry to interrupt. I hope this isn't boring.
Go ahead.
But so we lived in a converted bank. Or we worked in a converted building.
On Westwood Boulevard.
On Westwood Boulevard. It was this old rickety building. And the elevator broke. And that was when I had proceeded to break my leg skiing. And do you remember every day I would go out to the E-Rep floor? We had a call center.
Yep.
And I'd say, who can help me up the stairs? And a couple of big guys would come out. They'd carry me up and down the stairs all day.
I don't remember you having to be carried.
It was so funny and so fun. And I just, it was one giggle after another for me. I worked so hard in that job because I was having so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was so funny. Now, those guys were carrying me up and down the stairs.
My memory of that elevator was one of these call center people was a female Army veteran, a young one, and she did not like her boss.
Okay.
And we had to fire her. I had to fire her.
Fine. Awful.
So I took her upstairs, maybe to your office or somewhere up there where the paperwork was really being done. And then as I was escorting her down to the basement garage where her car was parked, in between the elevator doors open and there was her boss. And she stepped one foot out of the elevator and punched him right in the face.
Oh my gosh, Tony. Oh my gosh.
And it was a great lesson for me.
Oh.
Get rid of the boss if you're going to fire one of his people.
Right.
Like make him go to lunch.
Exactly.
Make him do something else. Because it was such a small, compacted building. That was the only elevator.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's absolutely crazy.
And I was like, all right, I can't fire you again.
Yeah.
You got your shot.
You got it right.
She's like, all right, I feel okay.
I feel good.
So, yes, many, many pleasant memories from that
it's
building.
Wonderful.
And we hired you because you actually knew what you were doing.
Oh, that's so sweet.
No, well, because I had no experience in HR.
Yeah.
I was hired as a customer service person.
Yes.
And Carolyn was like, okay, well, you're a good beginner guy, but we need somebody who actually knows what they're doing. And that's when you came in.
Yeah, that's so sweet. I knew it.
But it's true.
Thank you.
Where had you worked before?
Well, I worked at E. I was a recruiter at E.
And then afterwards you went back?
I went back after.
Interesting.
Yes. I've had a long relationship with
E.
It was a really wonderful place for me. Yeah.
Okay, so we're saying all this HR stuff because now you're in your own company.
Yes.
Where you magically compile everybody's salaries
Yes.
For lots of different jobs.
Yes.
And that way, when people are on the market and they're looking for either a new job or they want to just see, am I getting ripped off at this company? They can come to you. Is that how it works?
That's pretty much how it works. Can I tell you how the whole thing started? Because I was helping my best friend, Monica.
Uh-huh.
So, and you know, we talk about Marina Del Rey, really the anchor for me in this neighborhood, Tony, and why I never want to leave is my boxing gym. So I go to this little hole-in-the-wall boxing gym in Marina Del Rey.
Uh-huh.
I met all my best friends there. It's the most amazing community.
Is it on Lincoln?
Yes.
Okay.
It's JFM Boxing.
Okay.
It's right next to Firestone.
Oh.
The owner, Jordan, he took over the gym when he just got out of high school. I call him, and he's an amazing kid. He's an adult. He's having a second kid. But I officiated his wedding.
Oh, wow.
He's always at my dinner table at Thanksgiving.
Are you an ordained minister?
I got ordained to officiate his wedding. It was a bucket list moment. It was so much fun. He married this wonderful woman, and they're about to have a baby, so I'm going to have a baby at my Thanksgiving table, which is really, really exciting.
That's awesome.
But yeah, it's a scrappy little gym, and we all show up. We all wake up at the crack of dawn, and for years, we show up, you know, day in and day out. And this crew of people really became my family and my best friend. We all are so different. We're all different generations. We're all from different parts of the world. Mm-hmm. We all do different things. But there's something, you know, there's a common core between people that are going to wake up at the crack of dawn and do such an aggressive workout and push each other. We push each other.
Yeah.
And we just laugh and laugh and laugh. And we have, you know, we get together all the time outside of the gym. It's wonderful.
So is this a cross training gym?
No, it's boxing. It's just pure boxing.
Just boxing.
And before the pandemic, I used to spar. We had like Fight Club every Sunday. It was the most terrifying hour of my
life. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a beautiful woman. A mom.
A mom. Middle-aged mom.
You're getting punched?
Yeah, and that never scared me. And interestingly, everyone who sparred, that was our problem. None of us were worried about getting hit. You're not supposed to get hit when you box. But we were worried about not doing well, right? And
what do you mean you're not supposed to get hit?
Well, you're supposed to hit and not get hit when you're boxing.
Well, yeah, but somebody's getting hit.
Right, you're supposed to be the one hitting. So.
Do you have like a big face mask on?
Okay. We have gear. It's a really controlled situation.
Okay.
And literally, like, no matter how long you do it, you're always terrified before you. Always want to throw up. Everyone's concerned about sucking. I mean, that's a big concern. Not so much about getting hurt, but just not showing up the way you want to show up. And it was really just an hour of exhilaration. But once COVID came, I stopped sparring.
Oh.
And I didn't realize once I stopped, I realized that I had been walking around in pain constantly from the sparring.
Oh.
And so while I still do classes and every now and then I'll do a round, I stopped the Sunday sparring because it's just way too hard on my body. And I started doing yoga too. But it's just a sport. Who would have thought it would have resonated with me the way that it did? And I'm still improving and it's selling at my age. It's so cool and exciting, but it's just a sport that makes sense to me. I don't know why it connects with my operating system,
right,
but it completely makes sense and I love it.
So you said during COVID, you realized how much pain you were in.
Yes.
Are you in pain now?
No, because I don't get hit anymore. So I'm taking classes. And so, you know, we hit mitts, we do bags, and maybe I'll do a round every now and then with someone.
Yeah.
But it's very gentle.
Yeah.
But on those Sunday sparrings, I mean, you would do, you know, these 3-minute rounds. They went for an hour and we would rotate people and you're not fighting weight classes. I mean, sometimes there are guys there who were almost 300 pounds. They weren't going to hit me, but but yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful community.
So
and Jordan makes it wonderful.
Does this help your confidence when you're walking down the street and there's a guy walking towards you?
You know, I don't really. For me, if I was in a situation, my strategy would be to run because.
Okay.
I really don't want to hit someone. I don't want to break my hand. I just want to get out of the situation.
Uh-huh.
I have a pretty strong cross. That's my shot.
Do you know where in the face to hit a guy?
No.
Because I've seen I've seen bouncers.
Yeah.
Be like, I just need to line him up and one punch and he's going to knock out. Like, I think it's the chin.
Oh.
They don't teach you that at this gym? Do I need to do a guest?
It's not self-defense. All right. It's a sport.
It's a workout.
It's a workout, and it's a sport, like an art of boxing, and you know, all the strategy that goes with it. It's so complex and complicated. It's great for your brain, by the way.
Okay, one more question about this face mask thing.
Yes.
Can you get hit in the nose? Like, does your nose poke out?
Yes.
Have you been hit in the nose?
I've been hit, but I've never really been bruised, and honestly, I've been disappointed at times because I'm like, wouldn't it be kind of cool to have like a black eye and... See, I got it from boxing. I mean, it feels kind of cool. Never really happened, but
do you recommend this for both men and women for a good workout?
Yes, it is. It's a full body workout, but it's also a brain workout. So part of when I started boxing, I was also thinking about it because I, you know, I'm thinking about aging and I'm keeping my brain sharp. And you have to focus so much, but you're constantly learning in this sport. You're learning new strategy. You're learning how to move your body and coordinate everything.
Yeah.
100%. And it's absolutely a workout that can be modified to your physical ability and your age and your, you know, but yeah, it's awesome. I love it.
Sure it's fun to beat a guy up a little bit.
It's super fun to feel all strong and badass and be underestimated. People see like a middle-aged woman, they're like, whatever. But it's fun. This business was really born out of this boxing gym.
Oh.
And that's why I bring that up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is a place where I found my people. I found my community, my best friends, my family.
Mm-hmm.
They're such an important part of my life. And my best friend, Monica, you know, Chad and I, my partner, our best friend is Monica. She's our little sister. She's a member of the family. She did that painting. She's an amazing artist. So my daughter's also an artist, and Monica and my daughter did this huge painting in our living room. It's so cool.
How cute is that?
It's so sweet. It's so sweet. But Monica, so here's the situation. Monica was in her job for 4 years. And they loved her. And over that time, she, you know, got huge increases in responsibility and her workload just kept growing and just tons of wonderful feedback. They loved her. But what she hadn't gotten in all that time, believe it or not, is a pay increase.
Mm.
And Monica, she knew she was underpaid, but she didn't know how much or what to ask for or how to ask for it. And so she came to me because, you know, Tony, I'm a recruiter.
Yeah.
And this was before I started this business. So she's like, how do I ask for a raise? So I said, come on over. I'll make a nice dinner. You know, Tony, I love to feed people. I feel so much better if I know everyone's getting their nutrition. Like, I'll make dinner. We'll sit down. We'll figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, Monica, you probably don't know, but there are these new laws. There's these salary transparency laws that now require employers to put salary ranges in job postings.
Mm.
There's state laws. So there's about 10 states that have them right now, including New York and California. And at the time that we were having this dinner, California just rolled out this law. So I'm like, we can go look up comparable jobs to yours, add that, let's create a deck, we'll create a pitch to get a raise, and we'll have some comparable salary ranges in there for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So I jumped on the job boards to find similar roles to Monica's.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm a recruiter, I know my way around a job board, right?
Sure.
So I thought this would take me 10 minutes. Tony, it took me hours. Because once I got on the job boards, I realized I only had access to the job postings that were up at that moment in time. Because what happens is, once a position is filled, the posting's removed.
Mm-hmm.
That information goes away forever.
Mm-hmm.
So you only get that inventory that's up in that moment in time. Then I finally found some jobs that were similar to Monica's. I had to find the salary ranges that were buried deep in those job postings.
Mm-hmm.
And that I had to capture it all because I knew they were going to disappear. And I was like, wouldn't it be great if I had a place where I could have a side-by-side comparison? Why isn't there a place that's capturing all this information and storing it forever?
Mm-hmm.
you know, the intentions of these laws are to close the pay gap for women and people of color. And so what these laws are doing is they're making this information available, but it's not accessible. People don't know how to find it. It disappears. Mm-hmm. It's hard to find. So after I did that exercise, it occurred to me, why isn't anyone capturing all this? And that really was how Real Salary was born. And the next day, I called up Zach, who we also worked with.
Yes.
And because he's an angel investor. And I said, well, what do you think of this idea? And he said, I love it. Go. Call me in 6 months. Let's see how you're doing. So I have been working on it ever since. And what we do is we capture the salary ranges for every new job posting in these states that have these laws. Mm-hmm. We capture it all and we store it in a searchable database so the information never goes away. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, it's so interesting. You know, I've been talking to so many friends and, you know, when I have an Uber, I'm talking to people. And I was talking to this guy that was telling me, you know, I really wish I had access to this because I started my career at a company and I worked my way up. I'm an executive now. I've been there my whole career, but I knew I was underpaid because when you get raises within a company, you know, you tend to fall under market.
Yeah.
And I went to my boss and I'm like, I know I'm so under market right now. And my boss said to me, I'd love to help you, but you've got to give me data to give to HR to justify your raise.
Yes.
So he went on these other sites. You might, you know, it seems like there's other sites doing this, but they're really not. There's places like salary.com and Glassdoor. What those sites typically provide are averages of salary ranges, but they're not at the specific job and company level. So it might say, you know, in Los Angeles, a vice president of business and legal is making a range of, you know, 150 to 350, but it doesn't identify a specific job or a specific company. Mm-hmm. So it averages it out, and it also takes unverified user information into those numbers too.
Oh.
So as a recruiter, when somebody's negotiating with me and they bring me that data, I say, sorry, that's not data that we can verify, mm-hmm. because we know there's unverified user reported information. It's an average. We don't know what companies have been surveyed. Mm-hmm. It's really not useful data. And that's pretty much what happened to him as well. Mm. When he was asking for that raise,
yeah.
You know, that this, the HR department kind of rejected that. So we created a place where you could say, hey, this company, which is a competitor of ours, is paying this for a VP of business and legal. So you actually have the employer reported salary data there. It's just indisputable. It's a tool.
Right.
And you know, what's so important about that, Tony, what I really noticed during my career in human resources and recruitment is that when employees advocate for themselves, they tend to speak in emotion, but executives and decision makers speak in data. And before these laws, compensation data wasn't available to people. So what I've created is a way to take the emotion out and have a data-driven conversation about compensation with employers.
Mm-hmm.
So Monica got the raise.
Great.
She ended up leaving and getting a better job.
Great.
But that was really how the company was born.
And this is what I want to ask you, because you have done HR for all these other companies.
Yeah.
I feel like, and this happens in baseball and basketball too.
Yes.
You have homegrown talent.
Yes.
And you love them. They love Monica.
Yes.
The guy across the street's going to give her 40 grand more.
Yes.
How weird is it that you're just going to let them do that?
I know. It's so expensive.
And yet, to replace Monica, you'll probably replace Monica with the same salary that she's getting now, right?
Right. And it will cost the company much. It's so expensive. Turnover is so expensive.
Why are companies like this?
Well, so here's what I think it is. Because one of our Real Salary investors is a chief HR officer at another company. And, you know, when I met her and I was telling her about the company, she was saying, oh my gosh, Amy, I love this because the way I can impact my organization the most is through compensation, but I need access to data.
Right.
And she ended up writing a check. She's an investor in Real Salary. I think HR departments really want this data because when they go to finance, finance is like, you have to show me real numbers. Mm-hmm. And they don't have access to it. There's salary surveys. And but again, those are benchmarks, they're averages. Mm-hmm. They get the surveys a year after they're administered. It's aged information.
So it's the CFO that's vetoing these raises.
The CFO is like, I need some data to justify mm-hmm. it. You're telling me you're paying under market. I need to see it. I understand that too. Mm-hmm. So it's been really hard even for internal HR departments and compensation departments to get this data. And mm-hmm. we'll also be building a platform for companies as yeah. well. And, you know, it's really interesting if I can just, you know, I was talking to another guy mm-hmm. Who, you know, he's an investor. He's a very wealthy man. He has a lot of power and influence. And I shared the business with him, and there's two sides of the business. I mean, the biggest one is it's the consumer. I wanted to get this information out to the consumer. I self-funded our proof of concept. It's our website. We're in beta, mm-hmm. So that I could get this information out to the public as quickly as possible. That was my goal. And from there, because the information is so valuable to employers as well, so that they can create internal pay equity and they can avoid these costly pay discrimination suits that are sweeping the country.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Good.
Oh, yes.
Good.
Oh, yeah. Goldman Sachs, Apple, Google. I mean, it just, it goes on and on. These huge, huge, huge multi-million dollar settlements are being paid out. Mm-hmm. But also they need this data to accurately price out their own positions, right?
Right.
So, you know, we will be developing an enterprise solution too, but it was very important for me to get this out to the consumer. And when I talked to this guy, you know, again, a very powerful, wealthy man, and I told him about the business, he's like, listen, you're great. I love this for the enterprise side, for the company side, but can I swear?
Yeah.
He said, fuck the consumer. Fuck the underserved Amy. Forget about that. Go get rich and just sell this to companies. And then he said to me, so this is all in one context. He also said to me, mm-hmm. you know, I don't hire women in their 20s because they're going to leave and have babies. What I do is I hire them after they have the babies because I know I'm going to get them for half price because they're going to take a pay cut to get flexibility to take their kid to the doctor, go to recitals. But I also know they're going to put their kids to bed and immediately log on and start working until they fall asleep.
Wow.
Because I actually get more out of them for half the price than their male peers. He goes, actually give their male peers the same amount of flexibility, but those guys don't negotiate for it. They just expect it.
Mm.
I thought that was really interesting that he was almost boastful.
Right.
And telling me this, a woman, right?
Right.
And that, but it was just so out in the open. And, you know, one of the things that we talked about is, you know, just, you know, the reality of the pay gap for women. Listen, it's going to take, at the rate that we're going, 131 years to close.
Really?
Yeah. The pay gap. In our country, in the U.S., they're saying 35 years worldwide, 131 years. Here's the thing, though. Uh-huh. Economists have studied what will happen if we close the pay gender gap, because women are responsible for 80% of the consumer spend in this country.
Yeah.
Do you want to know what would happen? It would contribute $500 billion to the GDP, which would increase 66% year after year mm-hmm. if we close the gender pay gap.
Right.
It's great for the economy. It's great for our country. It's great for everyone to pay them the value that they contribute to a job.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So anyways, and
who knows? I mean, it seems to me that I know more single people in their childless people.
Yes.
These childless cat people that J.D. Vance wants to talk about. I think he sees it too. I think he sees that the trend is that people, these women that this rich guy believes are still out there.
Yeah.
He's obviously speaking from the past.
Yeah.
These women are not having babies in their 20s. They're not just running out and they're not running back.
Yeah.
That world is over. That's the Leave It to Beaver world, right? Or maybe the Brady Bunch world.
Yeah.
And so if women were paid accurately, I think they won't necessarily marry the first rich guy that they see who they're going to divorce and have to be single moms.
Yes.
And all this other like kind of negative stuff.
Yeah.
And so not that being a single mom's a negative stuff, but wouldn't it be nice if you like married the man that you loved because you love him, and now two good incomes are in the family?
Yes.
And there's, because they say that divorce is mostly based on financial reasons. And so if you have a two income, a real two income family, right, you might have a longer marriage.
Yeah.
Which is great.
If two people can actualize their economic value in the workforce, can you imagine? Can you imagine what our society would be like if people felt valued? I mean,
yeah,
something that really, a number that struck me is 70% of the U.S. workforce believes they're underpaid, but they don't have access to the data to verify it.
Mm-hmm.
And half of the workforce says they're not comfortable with salary negotiations because they don't have the data to verify what is fair and reasonable for their
right
job.
And I have a perfect example for that. When I was at the Oscars,
yes,
I had been there for 4 years, and our numbers went through the roof. And a lot of jobs, you don't have a scoreboard. You can't say, I'm a great accountant. We'll prove it.
Yeah.
You know? It's hard to prove.
Yeah.
And so I was in social media where it was easy to prove the followers. And so the followers went through the roof. And I was like, I haven't gotten a raise here in 4 years. What can we do about that? And the HR person said, she like opened up whatever she opened up. And she was like, well, according to my stats, we're on average to everybody else. And I was like, average of what? Who are you comparing it to? The Emmys and the Golden Globes and the Grammys? Like, that's a pretty small sample scale.
Yeah.
And to your point, I didn't have any data to defend myself.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really, to me, the beauty of this is that finally there is something that you can bring to your HR manager or to your boss or to the CEO, or whoever it is that you think you need to convince that you're, and it's got to be a legit spot. It's got to be verifiable information.
Yes.
And it just, I mean, you know, God bless these other websites, but I don't trust half of these things that have pop-ups for days that want you to subscribe to stuff. Like, that doesn't seem like science to me.
This is purely employer reported data. We're not doing anything to it. We're taking it directly from what the employer is reporting this job pays. So can you imagine if you had access, you could just go in a database and pull up all the social media managers in Los Angeles.
Right.
See what they're paying.
Or even New York, or even Japan.
Yeah. It's so powerful. And now people can have more agency over their finances, how they feed their family, how they live their lives by understanding what jobs really pay. It takes the mystery out. And boy, wouldn't this be great to have in college career centers? You know, I have a dear friend, he's an architect. He's very senior in his career, but he said, I had no idea how underpaid my industry was. And if I had known that in college, I wouldn't have gotten into this career.
Oh, really?
So underpaid. So he was so excited when, you know, I told him we were building this.
You mentioned something earlier.
Yes.
That not every state requires this.
Yes.
What are the states that do? Do you know off the top of your
yes
head? Okay, great.
So, yeah, New York and California.
Okay.
Maryland. Illinois is coming on in January. Hawaii, Washington State, Colorado. There are state laws in the legislature in 80% of the country. So if they pass, 80% of the country will be covered by these laws.
Right.
But the Salary Transparency Act is also in Congress. So if that passes, it would nationalize the law.
Interesting.
The trains out of the station indeed surveyed their users. 80% said they wouldn't even apply for a job that doesn't have a salary range in the job posting, regardless of the state that they're in.
Let's talk about that though real
yes
quick. Because sometimes these ranges are really, really spread.
Yes.
I think that's the beauty of what you're about. Is ranges don't mean much to people, I don't think, because if you're a younger person, you're not going to get that high range.
Yes.
And I feel as an older person, they don't want to give me that high range.
Well, here's the thing, Tony.
Yes.
There's a job description. And if you can argue, you know, in the requirements, I fulfill all of these requirements, That's relative to what the range is. It's mm-hmm. a really wonderful tool for employers too, because they can walk someone through that and say, and I can tell you as a recruiter, I can say, this is why we're bringing you in this point in the range. You know, for example, mm-hmm. we're looking for 5 to 8 years of supervisory experience. You have 5 years. You have, you know, and really walk them through that. But we believe in you. We want to invest in you. That's why we're bringing you in this part of the range. Mm-hmm. You have room to grow, but we're also going to invest. We're going to train you. We're going to help you get there mm-hmm. To the top of that range.
Let me ask you the positive side.
Yes.
Because there are some companies that are generous. In-N-Out has been historically generous. But I think that's a little easier to compare because In-N-Out normally is going against fast food chains that only pay minimum wage. Yeah. If I'm a generous employer, I would love real salary also, because I can, if somebody's bitching or wants a raise, I can say, oh, look at the friggin' real salary. We're paying you more.
See what the market standard is. Yeah.
Have you noticed some of that going on? That there are some people that are really being nice to their employees?
I think the companies that are generous and value compensation and taking care of their employees are really leaning into this. And it's a combination. It's a compensation. It's a rich benefits package. Mm-hmm. I've absolutely worked for companies like this who really want to provide a rich compensation package. They realize the value they're going to get from return is so much more, that their employers are going to add more value to the business. So
yes.
Make more revenue. It will pay for themselves. So I think there's companies leaning into these laws. Mm-hmm. They're leaning into the transparency, and they're seeing the value that it brings them. And again, did I mention like these crazy pay discrimination suits?
Right.
Every company wants to avoid that.
Yeah.
And this is data that you can use to help write your internal compensation, but also make sure that you are paying at market. And if you're not paying at market, then you can be strategic about that. You can say, listen, real salaries at startup, when we start hiring people, it's probably gonna be under market, but we know that and we own it. And mm-hmm. we realize there's other benefits to working for mm-hmm. us. So that also helps a company really tell the story of their company, why you would wanna work for us mm-hmm. beyond just the compensation. Because it really has to be beyond compensation, right? If you're taking a job, if you're gonna be happy there, compensation is really important, but there's a lot of other elements as well. And that really enables, you know, to take the money out of the conversation and figure out if you're in the right place.
We haven't mentioned how much this cost.
Oh, yes.
It doesn't cost much.
No, our beta, listen, it's 50 cents a result.
Right.
So when you go on Real Salary, it looks very much like a job board. I wanted to make it feel very familiar to the consumer. And again, this is our beta site. We're mm-hmm. going to be re-architecting the platform. We're going to be developing a lot of other tools.
I've seen your site. You have nothing to apologize for.
Thank you.
I think
thank
it's
you.
Fine.
Thank you. So
it's fine. They can figure it out.
Thank you. And when you do a search, what you get is you see the job title, the company,
yeah.
the posting date, the location. What you don't see is the salary range, and that's what you're paying for.
Right.
So you select what ranges your jobs that you want to see the salary ranges for. It's 50 cents a pop.
So even the most analytical person is probably going to spend $10 on this.
$10, and you get to see what 20 jobs pay.
Right.
Real data, employer-reported yes. data that never goes away.
And it's easy to print out,
yes.
I imagine.
You can,
if people still print.
You can print it out. You can download it. It's stored as an Excel file,
yeah.
so you can keep that. You know, and we'll eventually move to a subscription model, so you can have your whole history there.
Great. What's the word for keeping employees for a long time?
Oh, retention.
Retention.
Yes.
Thank you. Retention's expensive. Well, if you have poor retention,
yes.
that's
turnover
expensive.
Turnover is expensive.
Turnover, that's
it's
it.
It's so costly.
So I feel like one of the things that I learned from HR was if you hire correctly, you're not going to have turnover. And that's actually better for the company too. So if you are, so we were paying customer service people like a couple bucks more than the field. And one of Carolyn's reasonings for this was, if we don't have to keep hiring 200 people a year, that's great. Tony can work on other things. And these people can turn into managers, some of them. Like, they can build within the company. As we expand, they can train other places. Like, it made sense.
Yes.
Do people still believe in that? Because I don't see people going out of their way to retain people.
I think it's dependent on the job market.
Mm.
And by the way, there's exceptions to every role. Mm-hmm. We're in a really tough spot right now with mm-hmm. the job market. I mean, we're getting at the end of a white-collar recession. AI has come along and has eliminated jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Now people more than ever are going to want to understand things like what jobs really pay, how do I pivot, what career. There's people have had to reinvent themselves in the middle of their career, at the end of their career,
mm-hmm.
and find other things. So I think it depends. I think, you know, when it's a tough talent market, when there's more jobs than talent, that's when I think employers get very expansive. How can we attract talent? But mm-hmm. the other question is, how do we retain talent? And there are definitely mm-hmm. companies that are really focused on that and doing a great job. And mm-hmm. of course, there's other companies that aren't.
Right.
But, you know, think about, there's going to be a time where there's going to be a war for talent again.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to want to be an employer of choice. You're going to want to be an employer that's trusted. So, and people remember that. They remember how companies have done mass layoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've been at companies that have done mass layoffs. And, you know, my experience, I've been with companies that did it in a very compassionate way. They had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a very compassionate, you know, humane way. And
yeah.
companies don't do that. People remember.
So you don't think there's a war for talent now, because we're in election year.
Yes.
And the Democrats are saying unemployment's lower than it's ever been. And yet, I don't know if people actually feel that. So those numbers might be there. So, coming from HR, what do you think?
So here's what I'm seeing, Tony, and I'm seeing this on my own LinkedIn account, and I'm reading about it. The job market's gotten better. People are getting back to work. People who have been unemployed for a couple of years are getting back to work.
Okay.
Settled. Some of them in the career that they were in, some of them have made pivots into other types of work.
Mm-hmm.
It is getting better out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people are, you know, have had a couple of years of pain, mm-hmm. and it's going to take a while for them to financially recover.
I see.
But I am seeing, just, I'm not an economist, but just based on what I'm seeing in my job,
yeah.
I am seeing a correction in the job market. I am seeing job growth.
Great.
And I'm seeing recruiters get back to work. And that's a really telling sign. Because
right.
the recruiters who lose their jobs first, you know, in a devastating job market.
If there's no places to place people.
Right. Exactly.
So let's talk specifically here in LA.
Yeah.
How's the job market here?
It's picking up,
mm-hmm.
and I'm seeing recruiters go back to work.
Good.
So it's getting better. I mean, there are businesses moving out,
mm-hmm.
But I'm seeing it's picking up.
So Silicon Beach is still happening.
As far as I know, it's still happening.
Okay.
It's still happening. Culver City is pretty vibrant too. I know we're talking
yes.
about.
Yes. No, that's fine. That's fine.
Apple Studios.
It's your neighbor over
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
So Apple Studios is over there. Amazon's
yes.
in Culver.
Yes.
Sony obviously is
yes.
still over there. But I hear that the entertainment industry in LA is maybe some of it's moving to Georgia.
There's a lot of stuff in Atlanta right now.
Right.
Yeah.
And so.
And what's so unfortunate is the crew people, you know, it's local people who get those types of roles. So there's people who've had their whole career here as part of a crew.
Yeah.
They don't have access to a lot of the production jobs. So
and so if they don't want to move to Georgia,
yeah.
and they've got to get jobs out here, again, I think real salary would be great for them if they're like, well, you know what? I'm a set designer, or I work behind the scenes building the sets. I can work in construction
yeah.
or handyman or whatever.
How do I pivot?
Right.
What lines up? You know?
And because they've always been in the movie business, which usually pays pretty well.
Yeah.
They might not know what the going rate is for this guy or that guy.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so that's where you come in.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So true. I think we're seeing people more than ever having to pivot their careers, and they need the data to inform themselves. Where do I go from here? Where are the jobs?
Mm-hmm.
So, and what are they paying?
Mm-hmm.
Can I afford to go over here? So.
So maybe there might be a day where real salary says, If you've done this in the past, maybe look at these jobs.
Yes.
Let's wrap up with Marina Del Rey.
Great.
The birthplace of real salary. By the way, it's real-salary.com.
Yes, thank you. And I should have been saying that. The URL is real-salary.com.
Okay.
Yes.
Google will figure you out at some point. Because I forgot about salary.com. They've got the URL, huh?
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay. Fine, whatever. But you've got something better going on.
Yes.
And when we work together at the turn of the century.
Yes.
What I loved was how Yahoo was the thing, but when we ended, Google was the thing. And nobody thought that anybody could leapfrog Microsoft. Yeah. And then Yahoo showed up, and then Google showed up, which shows you in tech just how fast killer apps and just smart companies can beat so-called giants. Yeah. You're a giant for a year, and that's it.
Yeah.
And so so it's real-salary.com.
Yes.
And if people want to reach out to you, what's the easiest way to get to you?
Yeah, so you can always email me at support@realsalaryinc.com.
I would no love dash? To hear.
No dash.
Okay.
So it's support@realsalaryinc.com, and that it's on our website too.
Okay.
The support, so feel free to do that. I'm on LinkedIn as well.
Okay.
So
here we are near, we're near so many things here.
Yeah.
Lincoln is both a curse and a blessing.
Correct.
That traffic is wild.
It's just insane.
Do you have any tips for people who are maybe trying to like go from Santa Monica to the airport?
Oh my gosh. That's like avoid Lincoln at all costs. It's so funny.
Is that what people think?
I'm like, I will weave through every side street to avoid Lincoln and go a mile out of my way, but I'll still get there quicker.
Is there a solution for this?
I don't know. It's really gotten
dense. It's terrible, right?
Dense here. Yeah. When I moved here, there was no traffic.
Right.
It was like a sleepy little secret.
Yeah.
But
there's a lot of reasons why people want to live here. You're close to the beach. Mm-hmm. It's at least 20 degrees cooler over here.
Yeah.
Have you felt the sweltering heat of these last couple days?
It's because it's been in the 90s here, which is very unusual. It's usually in the 70s.
Yes.
So, yes, it's been hot. It's been a little crispy. We've been roasting here, but luckily we're by the water, so that helps.
Do you know why there's three Ralphs in Marina Del Rey?
I don't, but it's the greatest perk of my life that I am walking distance to like five different grocery stores.
Yeah.
I never get in my car when I, you know, on the weekend. I walk to do every errand that I need to do. It's so unusual.
Are you a bike rider at all?
I'm not. I'm a walker.
Okay.
I love to walk. I did go through a little bit of a bird phase. Yeah. But then I almost killed myself.
They're dangerous.
Like, maybe I need to back off of that.
So, you know, it's funny because when we talk about neighborhoods, everybody talks about walkability.
Yes.
And, okay, so you're not where the boats are in Marina Del Rey, although that's kind of a pleasant walk too.
Yes.
You're closer to Lincoln, and so you can kind of stroll
we can just,
everywhere.
Yeah, we're like 5-minute walk to the water.
It's only 5 minutes to the water?
Yeah, there's a path to cut through behind this fire.
Interesting.
Yeah, we got it. So
you're close to the movies.
Close to the movies, and then we're just down Washington. We get to the beach. There's all these fun bars, you know.
Are you still drinking? Good for you.
I mean, I only have, Tony, I don't drink. I only have a glass of scotch at night. That's it.
What's your brand?
I like Glenlivet. That's my daily.
Okay.
So Macallan is if I'm really splurging.
Uh-huh.
It's really funny because I'm really not much of a drinker. I never have been. And one day somebody got me a gorgeous bottle of scotch, just like $100. I never tried scotch. And I'm like, I'm going to try it.
Fine. Yeah.
I'm going to hate it.
Yeah.
And I took a little sip and I was like, oh, this is my drink, just straight.
And that's how you do it before you...
Yeah, just have a little glass at night.
That helps you enter dreamland?
It's there's an elegance to the drink.
There
I
is.
Love it. I love the smell. I love how it burns my throat. It's so fun. Every time I ordered at a bar, though, they're like, you want it on the rocks, right? Mm. Nope, just give it to me neat.
So, I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not going to recommend that anybody moves here.
No, because it's gotten way too dense. Come on, come all.
What about in the marina proper? Because again, when people think of the marina, they think about that that one little area over there, right by the boats.
Yes.
I used to see a lot of retirees retire there.
Yeah.
I'm seeing less of that. I'm seeing you call them middle age, but so I Uber a lot. I'm an Uber driver. And that's who I'm seeing out there. I'm seeing a lot of times single women and men in their 40s who want to be close to the beach.
Yes.
They have a little money.
Yes.
They're not crazy rich, but they have a little money. And they want a totally different experience than what the rest of LA can offer.
Yeah.
Is that why you moved here too?
Yeah, I love being outdoors. I love being by the water. And I like it. And we talk about walkability. If I can walk everywhere, I'm so happy. So, but yeah, it is a different lifestyle, and I do think it attracts people who, you know, like to be active and take care of themselves and fun, and I do see a lot of young families here as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely, you're right, when I moved in, it was a lot more like older, retired folks.
Right.
Where I'm seeing a much broader range of ages.
Amy, what a pleasure to reconnect with you.
Tony.
I'm so happy, and I think I speak for my audience. What you're doing is so important to the people, the regular people, not to diss your investor, your Deep Pockets investors, but this is such a powerful tool for the regular people who want to be middle class. I don't even think there's much of a middle class anymore, because it's just so expensive to do anything. I'll tell you what I think the middle class used to be. The mom's a waitress at a diner. The dad is a mechanic working for another guy.
Yeah.
In the past, they could buy a house.
Yes.
Those two cannot buy a house these days.
Right.
They're lucky if they ever get out of their apartment.
Yeah.
And to me, the past was the middle class, where those two full-time working people, two teachers, could buy a house. In LA.
Yeah.
Those days are long gone.
Yeah.
And what you are doing is you're helping these people who are aspiring to be middle class, including myself, who's aspiring to one day buy a condo or a house, get there. Because who else is helping us get there? Everybody else is like, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Self-reliance. Be smarter. Okay. But how? And you're finally giving us one of those tools that we need.
Oh, Tony, thank you. I'm so glad. I just want to tell people and companies, and I think it's just a really great tool. Thank you so much.
Real/salary.com?
Yes, real-salary.com.
I'm sorry, real-. And your email address one more time?
support@realsalaryinc.com. And do feel free to reach out to me, and I'm on LinkedIn as well.
LinkedIn, Amy Schrader.
Yes.
S-C-H.
It's S-H.
It's okay,
Tony. It's a crazy name. It's not.
Is it German?
I don't even know. I think it's if we were Russian, Polish, it was something else when we came over to Ellis Island.
Uh-huh.
It's S-H-R-A-T-T-E-R.
Maybe that's the easiest way to get to you, because everybody's on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
So they can just
my name is very unique. Yeah.
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 And it does it say recruiter? What does it say as your title? CEO now?
Yeah. Yeah. Co-founder of Real Salary.
Yeah.
And prior to that, I had my recruiting business, which I still have. But yeah.
Okay.
You see the Real Salary on there. We have our social channels. We have, you know, we're on Instagram, X, Facebook, LinkedIn, Real Salary.
And so if you got 50 cents, you can find out what you're worth.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, Amy. How great was Amy? When you stoke us, you're saying, thanks for showing us truly cool people like Amy who are doing everything that they can for all of us. You are now in our will.
So shout out to our Patreons, Nancy Rommelman, Sean Atlow, Matt Mills, Sean Wallace, Greg and Molly, Jamie Taylor, Mark Johnson, Kira Ann, Barney Greinke, Ben Welch, Jen Adams, Trevor Wilson, Bree Wild, Dougie Gyro, Christina Up North, Robin Carey, Adam Shorn, Ben from Down Under, Chris from the ATX, Gregor, and Phil. To be a Patreon, just go to patreon.com/hereinLA. Want to support us, but giving strangers money just ain't your thing? No problem. Post this episode on your Facebook or on your Twitter. Or scrawl it on a bathroom wall. It's spelled HEARINLA. As in hereinLA.com, where all of our episodes live and chill and smoke cigarettes and clothes and chew gum and pop their gum and get gum in their hair and then play with their hair and look lovely. All thanks to great guests like Amy. Thank you for listening, Patriots, and we'll see you next time.